Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinnerless to the loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together in love. There is only one God, there is only one King, there is only one body, that is why we can sing. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together in love. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love.
Yes. Lord, we make that a prayer tonight as we sing that song to you, Lord. We just ask you to bind us together in love.
The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of man. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, and it will forever, when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, every test we give it, though its author is divine. Grace alone I expect to live it and to prove it and make it mine. Amen. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. On the cross, crucified, in great sorrow he died. The giver of life is he. Yet my Lord was despised and rejected of men. This Jesus of Calvary, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. Price for healing was paid, as those cruel stripes were made. Within Pilate's judgment hall, now his suffering affords perfect healing for all. This wonderful healer's mine. He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. Surely he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. He has healed my sick soul, made me every whit whole, and he'll do the same for you. He's the same yesterday and today and for a, this healer of men today. He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. Surely he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed.
It's a good song.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation. redemption purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ringing above,
echoes of mercy,
whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest, I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, washed in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though they are sliding here, still He is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently, He will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that were broken will vibrate once more.
Hallelujah.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it, strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them, tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
I like that third verse, that chords that were are broken will vibrate once more. That just speaks to my heart. You know, it says that He gives songs in the night. And I've never had a song original given to me that I know of. I don't know. But, well, probably I have. Yeah, I guess I have. I never wrote them down, so I don't know what they are. But, you know, He just gives us music in our hearts. And sometimes in the night when things are just so heavy and sometimes nights can be long, he just pours out his joy and his peace and his contentment. And I'm so grateful for that, because my cords were broken and he caused them to vibrate again when he took me into his fold. Hallelujah. Just, I like that. I like that part. So, did you notice that both of those requests were written by Fanny Crosby? Anybody else notice that? She's a good writer. Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, should we do your last one? I want to read something here. This is in today's Pentecostal Evangel. Well, the cover says God Country, 20 historical events that impacted America's spirituality. I just would like to read one. I've commented on things like this before here. 1600s to 1700s, religious education in colonial America. A London pamphlet published in 1643. Okay, I guess the gist of this whole article is to point out that this nation was founded on God's principles. And today there are a lot of people standing up and saying, well, it really wasn't. And we have to separate God and government. And I don't know how you do that, but they say that. Anyway, that's the gist of this whole article. That's why these 20 articles were in here, to show us that this nation was found by godly men on godly principles. A London pamphlet published in 1643 outlined the goal of a recently established college in the American colonies. Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternally interesting, which is eternally life. The school was none other than Harvard College, founded in 1636. That was only a few years after the founding of the Massachusetts Bay Colony. Puritan Harvard was a new seminary in the wilderness, a beachhead for Protestant religion in an untamed land. Roughly 50% of its graduates in the 17th century entered the ministry. The new seminary didn't just produce clergy. Harvard's mission was to educate the future leaders of the church, state, and society, all of which were assumed to be deeply committed to God and godliness. Those same assumptions governed every other colonial college. Connecticut Congregationalists established, take a guess, Yale. Isn't that amazing? That blows me away. In 1701, with similar goals. The same goes for Virginia Anglicans, College of William and Mary, 1693, and the New Light Presbyterians, Princeton, 1748. The church and the academy had no wall of separation, just the opposite. A revival in religion often meant a revival in education. Christ is the only, the true, the living way to access to God. I'm sorry, of access to God, proclaimed Timothy Dwight, president of Yale College from 1795 to 1817. In his 1814 baccalaureate discourse, he went on to say, "Give up yourselves, therefore, to him with a cordial confidence, and the great work of life is done." King's College, Columbia University, published the following advertisement in 1754. "The chief thing that is aimed at in this college is to teach and engage the children to know God in Jesus Christ and to love and serve him in all sobriety, godliness, and righteousness of life with a perfect heart and a willing mind." Isn't that amazing? These are the presidents of Ivy League colleges. I mean, they're the top colleges in this country. People want to go to them because you get a degree from Yale, you get a degree from Princeton, you got it made. These are written by presidents and the founding people that founded those colleges. It blows me away the distance that they've gone from what they were established to do. A pastor of ours years ago was talking about all of that, and he said that, you know, these colleges and these institutions, these great ministries, that's what they were ministries, were founded by these godly people, and the ideas and the ideals of these people were carried on for a generation or two, and pretty soon they started leaving those ideas and ideals for, I don't know, money, I suppose. I really don't know why they walk away from it. But he said, and it stuck with me, and it's such a vivid picture. He said, all they have is the droppings of the dove. Isn't that an awesome picture? I mean, what is the dropping? I mean, it's a bunch of dung. That's all that's left in those colleges.
It's kind of taking an old app today, you know. And people just, they got to put Christ first no matter what, you know, or even silly situations, you know. The other day I was traveling by myself, and I didn't take any money with me to pay for even a meal or anything. And I was going down the road, I was listening to the radio, I'm like, God, you just provide me with a meal today, I just never got money. I just kind of quick, you know, and I drove all the way up to Home Depot, you know, and you know, it was early in the morning, it was after it had that bad weather and rain and everything, and I got out in the parking lot there, and I had tools in the back, so I parked way away from the building. I like to walk. So I got out, and I started walking across the parking lot, and I had my head down, and I looked down the ground, and there was a crumpled up green spot. So I reached down. Normal, you know, you really don't find out what it is. So I picked it up and went, I kind of looked around. There's not even a car around me. So I, well, thank you. It's just like he crumpled it up and he just threw it down in front of my feet and said, you want some money? Here you go. That's $40. $2.20. I mean, it's no big deal, but I mean, I would have.
Well, it might have been a big deal for whoever lost it.
Yeah. It was a weird. That whole day was just a wonderful day.
A couple weeks ago, similar situation. I was at Fleet Farm in Menominee. Got out of my car, and there's a little, it looked almost like a checkbook, but it wasn't, but it was shaped like that, you know, a little black plastic envelope kind of thing. And I mean, it's like I stepped out and I almost stepped on it, you know, picked it up, and there was $60 in there. And it looked like it had fallen, whoever was sitting in the car next to me, when they got out, it looked like it was on their lap. They stood up and it fell down. You know, so anyway, I took it in and gave it to them at the counter. And I left a note on the windshield of the car next to me and did my shopping and stuff. And when I was going out to the car, when I was all done, this car that had been parked next to me was coming into the parking lot and drove up, parked next to me, and this older lady came out, and she said, are you the man that found my money? I said, well, I don't know if it's your money, but I found some money. It's at the counter in there. She said, oh, thank you. Thank you so much. And anyway, it was $60 was a lot of money for her, so whatever. Anyway, she got her money back, and all was well. And somebody told me I should have kept it. And I thought, why do you want to be so dumb? You know, this is dumb, you know. So anyway, she got her money back and all was well. So, but God probably did crumple it up and put it there for you, Rex.
In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or pain. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great is in it, and he'll not forget his own. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. When the conflict here is ended, and our race on earth is run, he will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name.
Please close in prayer.
Lord God, thank you that we could all come out this evening and just be with us as we're going home, and be with us as we fellowship here afterwards. And please be with Mr. Shackleton. He's in the hospital, Lord God. Just minister to his family right now as they're going through this difficult time. Be with Pastor Lynn, just to be a blessing to him. Just please heal him so he can come back to us, Lord God.